Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to be here this morning. We have a full house this morning. It's great. Well, if you can, turn your Bible or turn on your Bible to Joshua 3. We've been studying out the book of Joshua, and it's been amazing. I want to say thank you for Gary and Perry and Bill for doing a phenomenal job. Let's give them a hand, huh? Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we're so grateful to be here among you, among your presence. God, thank you so much for waking us up this morning, allowing us to see your sunshine, allowing us to feel the cool breeze. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here at church, to sing songs to you, to pray to you, to listen to your words. God, I pray that you will come now and speak to us. Help our hearts to be broken and contrite. Help our hearts to be softened so that your words can take root. Father, we need you. We love you. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you guys believe it? 2015 is almost over. It's coming to the end. You got November and December. You know, Christmas is 6 weeks away. Wow. 6 weeks. Are you ready for the year to end? What an amazing year this year has been. You know, God has done incredible things among us. We have seen so many people get baptized this year. So many people are being restored back into the fellowship. We raised over $80,000 for missions. Amazing. God is doing amazing things. You know, but what's really cool to know is that God is going to do amazing things in 2016. You will see with your own eyes. You will hear with your own ears. You get to witness what God is going to do in 2016. Amen. You know, it's not hype. It's the truth. Yep. But you have to be open to God to see it. Right. You know, you can be here and not see it if you're not open to God to really see the things that he's going to do. You know, this world is broken. This world is as beautiful as it is, and as you know, it's decaying. It's dying. The divorce rates are going up and up. Racism and hatred. And we see things that happen in Paris this weekend. And it breaks my heart. Can you imagine one of your family members going to this place and never coming back? This world is so messed up. We think about Paris. We think about the Middle East. We think about the shootings in schools. There's no hope in this world. But God wants us to change this world. Will we be the people that God used to change this world? Joshua 3 here. We'll start in verse 1. Just early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance, about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. You know, we are on the verge of 2016. And I believe that just like what Joshua is telling the Israelites east of the Jordan, he says to consecrate yourself, to get ready to be used by God, to get ready to see what God is going to do. You know, the word consecration, it means to be set apart, to make holy, to dedicate to a specific goal. Consecrating yourself means to set yourself apart wholeheartedly, without reservation, without distraction, fully devoted, surrendering all of you to all of Him. It is going all out and all in for God, completely sold out. You see, it's not about you doing great things for God. It's about you getting yourself ready to see what God is going to do for you and through you. You know, the Old Testament people, just like here, you know, they were told to consecrate themselves because God was going to do something great. You know, Joshua said, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do an amazing thing among you. Do you realize that amazing always begins with consecration? And then consecration always ends in amazing. You know, David, speaking to the people in 1 Chronicles, says, now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? And I ask us the same thing. As we come to the end of 2015, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Let us consecrate ourselves to see God's glory in 2016. We have 2 months to go. Do not let the holiday festivity distract you from God. We need to pray and fast for the Lord to do great things among us soon. Amen. 2016 is going to be amazing. Let's consecrate ourselves to see what God is going to do. You know, are you hungry for God this morning? Or are you already full of yourself? Let's get hungry for God. So this, I'm doing a short series these couple of Sundays. And, you know, I hope that the series will help us prepare ourselves to consecrate ourselves for God to do great things in 2016. The series is called Sold Out. So the first week, which is this week, today, we're going to be talking about sold out love. How God has sold out on us. Next week, we're going to talk about sold out response. What should our response be to God's love? And then third week, we're going to talk about obstacles to selling out. What are the obstacles that prevents us or stops us from really selling out to God? And then finally, the last week, is the prize worth selling out? What is it that we are selling out for? So as we look at these things, I hope and pray that it will move us so that we can be sold out for God next year, this year, the end of this year, and next year for the rest of our lives. So today we're going to talk about the first part of the series, sold out love. I'm going to have some scripture up here, so you guys just write things as they go, because I don't have enough time for us to flip through the scriptures. And so I wanted you to write down and go home and really read them. You know, sold out love. No one has ever loved you like Jesus loves you. No one could ever love you like Jesus loves you. He cares for you. If He were sitting right next to you right now, I think three things He would say to you. He would say, I love you so much. And then He would say, thank you so much for being here, for coming to church. And then thirdly, I think He would say, I am so proud of you. For hanging on, for being here. You know, we do a lot. you know, for many different reasons. We do, sometimes it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. I need to do that because it's the right thing. You know, maybe it's a responsibility. I'm responsible for this. I need to do this. Or maybe it's an obligation. I have to do this. So we do a lot of things for many different reasons. But it's so great when we do it because of love. You know, the church is described in the Bible as a body. You know, the church is also described as the temple, as a family. But what I love the most is the church is described as the bride of Christ. Love, right? It gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling, right? We love love. We cry at weddings. We cry at engagements. We love this notion of love. You know, I remember wandering the streets of Bangkok, looking for 10 scarves for I want to give to this sister so that I can ask her to be my girlfriend. Okay. I'm so glad she said yes. So I'm wandering the streets looking for these, you know, scarf, 10 scarves to give to her, to ask her to be my girlfriend. And, you know, it was so, I went to places trying to look for the perfect scarf. And, you know, love makes you do crazy things, right? I you guys look at me like I'm weird or something, you know? I know you guys do a lot of crazy stuff because of love, right? Makes you do crazy, irrational things. You know, Don Burrow married us. I didn't hear a thing he said that whole time. I don't know what he said. All I could think of, when do we get to the part where I kiss her? Like, come on, Don, let's speed this up, you know? And that's all I remember. I don't remember anything. You know, love. I want to show you how, this is what God feels about you. In Isaiah 62, it says, as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoice over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. You see, God is just not okay with you. He's just not tolerating you. He's not just patient with you. He's not just happy with you. It says, no, he rejoices over you. Rejoices. Like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. So will your God rejoice over you. It's like winning the Super Bowl a million times. It's like winning the World Series a million times. He rejoices over you. He loves you so much. You know, God has been courting you since the creation of the universe. God has put every star in place so that you might notice him. He's put the stars and the moons and aligned them just exactly the place he wanted to be so that you might notice him and think, wow, God, that's amazing. And point yourself to him. He made the oceans. As beautiful as the oceans, you know, teeming with life. And the beautiful sunset that we see sometime, and we just think, oh, wow, I've never seen such a beautiful thing. God has created the mountains. You know, beautiful mountain, majestic, and we see his power in those mountains. God has made so many things beautiful. He's made the trees and the animals and all the beautiful things to catch our eyes, so that you might notice who made all of these. God has done so many things so that we can notice him. He remembers the first time you pray, the first time you get on your knees and you pray to him. He remembers that. The first time you sang to him, the first time you came to church. He remember the first time you opened up your Bible. and starting to read his words. And he's saying, I hope he falls in love with me. I hope she notices me. I hope she chooses me. And he's doing all these things to get us to notice him, to fall in love with him, to see him for who he is. You know, God loves you so much. I can't even explain how much he loves you. You know, so I know all parents do this. I sometimes go down to my daughter's room, and they're asleep. And I would sit down by their bed, and I would look at them. And I would start to think about them and all the things that they're going to do in their life. All the hard things that they're going to go through. I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're going to go through. All the pains, all the hardship. And I would run my fingers through their hairs. And I would pray for them. You know, life is unfair. Life is going to be hard. But I really believe that God does the same thing to us. We may never know it, but he's sitting down while we're asleep, and he's running his fingers through our hairs. I love you so much. You know, but the truth is, we were once in Satan's family. You know, there was a substantial price to get us out of Satan's household into God's. You know, Satan would not release us for nothing. You know, God says, give me John. And Satan's, no, I can't give him to you. He has sinned. He is guilty. The penalty for him is death. And God says, give him to me. You know, I can only imagine the negotiation with Satan here, you know? God's probably Satan, so what are you willing to do to release him? And, you know, I think finally, you know, after all these things, Satan says no. I think after no deal was struck, God says, what if my son were to die in his place? What if my son were to go and die in his place? You know, God is willing to do anything for you. You know, Romans 6 here says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I think about the creation committee, you know. I think about God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the creation committee. They created the world. They created the stars and the moons and the galaxies. And they started creating they started creating the oceans and the skies. And it's so beautiful. And then they came to us. I imagine them thinking, you know, if we create humans, you know what that means, right? If we create humans, one of us is going to have to go and die for them because they're going to sin. And so I imagine the Holy Spirit and God, like, who's going to tell Jesus this? You go tell him. No. They had to tell Jesus, you know, you're going to have to go down and die for them. The things that we create, you have to die for them. Second Corinthians chapter 5 here. It says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life again. The cost was his blood. The cost was his death. To save our souls. You know, he didn't just forgive us. He called us sons and daughters. He didn't just set us free. He brought us home with him. You know, we are his family if we are true disciples of Jesus this morning. We are his family. You know, if you were in this family, you would have to grow fur quickly. You would live in the Arctic. You would have to dive into the ocean to get your food. We will not survive in this family. We will die in about a day because it's so cold. We do not have that kind of, you know, fur to help us. We would die in this family. This next family, we would have to hunt. Not with guns and bows and arrows, but by our own mouth and arms, you know. We would have to hunt, and we would have to eat raw meat. We would not survive if we were in this family. We would die. This next family, we would have to have wings to fly and get out of the nest. Right? We would have to eat things like this in order to survive. And because we can't fly, we will not survive. We will die. And then this family, if you were in this family, you would have to grow gill in order to breathe. Because you would not be able to breathe underwater for a long, long time. You would drown and you would die. You know, to exist in God's family, we would have to be like God. To exist in his presence, we would have to be without sin. Perfectly pure to coexist with God. For God to live in you, you would have to be sinless for his spirit to live and coexist with you. So what needs to happen so that I can be so pure and so clean that God can come and live inside of me? Because I would die instantly if I were in the presence of God, because he is so holy and so pure. I would need a total, complete transformation to be with him. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. A complete transformation. The blood of Jesus washed away our sins. We are now completely pure. Praise God for that. When God looks down at us, he doesn't see all our guilt, our shame. We have done a lot of things that we would never tell people. We are so ashamed of. And God looks at you, and through his blood, the blood of Jesus, you are completely clean. You are as white as the snow. Imagine that. God, to be in his family. You know, you are a miracle. Do you know that? For God to orchestrate every situation in your life so that you can see him, acknowledge him, open up your heart, humble yourself, and study the Bible with people God has sent you, repent of your sin, get baptized, make Jesus the Lord of your life in your good confession. That is, you know, I think about that, I'm like, that is amazing that God has orchestrated every detail of that for us, so that we can come into contact with the blood of Jesus. He saved you at just the right time. You're a walking miracle. You know, God loves you so much. He has proven his love to you down the Via Dolorosa, at Calvary, a place called Golgotha. There's nothing left for him to do to convince you that he loves you. There's nothing left. Some of you who are here for the first time or been coming and have not chosen to study the Bible, God has been stalking you. You know, when people stalk you, they look for you and they follow you everywhere. They're trying to find out what you're doing. That's what God has been doing to you. He's been stalking you. He's going to work with you. He's sent you somebody to tell you about him. He's orchestrating everything for you to see him. It is not an accident that you are here this morning. It is not an accident that you are sitting where you're at this morning. And I pray that you will hear him, that you will see him, how much he loves you and how much he's willing to go for you to understand how much he loves you. Are you going to open your heart, be open to studying the Bible with people that God has sent you? You know, there is no one who became a Christian by themselves in the New Testament. There's nobody. They had to have other people help them. You know, I grew up going to church and, you know, I believe in the sinner's prayers. I believe that all I needed to do was pray to Jesus and accept him into my heart and then I was saved. I did that many, many times. And I still felt empty. There was no power in my life. You know, there are a lot of stuff in the, you know, that we've been lied to. You know, the religious world and taking people's word from the pulpit. I'm like, no, we got to get into the Bible and find out what God has to say for us. So I challenge us, if you're visiting with us, get with the people that brought you. You know, talk to them and say, hey, look, I want to find out what this is all about. It's not a coincidence that you're here. Romans chapter 8. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither in the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God has restored our position with him forever. Your sins are forgiven. If you're in the Lord this morning, he is so in love with you. His banner over you is love. Freedom is in our laughters. Hope is poured onto our lap. Heaven is our future. That's where we're going. Mercy is our friend. And grace shall be our song. You know, I hope you feel loved by God this morning. I hope that you take these scriptures and go back and really study them and see how much God has loved you and what he is doing, orchestrating your life so that you will notice him. I have a final song before I close here, but I want us to come back next week as we look at our response to God. What should our response be to God because of his great love for us, that he's adopted us into his amazing family.
What an amazing service. First, we'd like to thank the brothers for serving this morning in our lessons today. Perry brought us the lesson speaking about promises and warnings from God and the spirits that lives inside of us, that we are so empowered by that spirit. Ross took us to the cross today. He spoke about forgiveness. Let's remember also John's awesome lesson this morning. We thank you so much. He spoke about us being anointed, about us being sanctified by God. Let's remember to consecrate ourselves, meaning to set ourselves apart. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things. We have two announcements before we dismiss. Right after service, let's move our fellowship into the foyer immediately after the service because we have to rehearse for the Christmas play, and time is an essence. The choir rehearsal will be in the band room 15 minutes right after the service. So we ask that the parents get their kids right out so we won't waste any time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we are so enthused. We are always amazed, Father, that we can come together as a body and as a whole to worship you every Sunday. We thank you so much for this day. The sun is out. We are disciples that we're going to go out today and do your works. Father, let us not forget our disciples that are living in Europe. The ones in Paris, Father, they are going through a lot right now. Our church in Paris has a lot of work to do. They have to console those who are going through the deaths of their families and friends and loved ones. Let them help to go out and console them, Father. We are here praying for them and the other churches around us. We are with you. We are with the countries that are going through so much. Father, thank you so much again for this day. We hope that we'll remember what we have learned. Let us take it out and go through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.